Life Audio.
Hello, and welcome to the Daily Bible Podcast with Tricia and Michelle. We're just two friends reading through the Bible chronologically and encouraging you to do the same. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram, Daily Bible Podcast, or go to our website, dailybiblepodcast.net. We are going through the one-year chronological Bible, and we have links for that in our show notes and also at our website.
And we have an awesome, amazing online Facebook group. Just look for Daily Bible Podcasts under Facebook Communities.
And today we are reading Deuteronomy 10, 11, and 12. And today we are moving from the general remembrances that, remember, Moses is giving kind of like, almost like a sermon, almost like, hey, let's just sit down and have a little family time. Let's share what God has done. So we're moving from the general remembrances and the commands into specific stipulations that God has for his people. And again, Tricia, I just have to sit back and wonder what it's like to be a part of this crowd. I mean, because you know that this crowd was large.
Yes.
Like, this crowd was large. And so you can imagine what it might have been like to try to hear this without a sound system or no loudspeaker. And it makes me kind of wonder, like, if you were sitting at the back of this crowd, first of all, you could probably barely see Moses. But if you're sitting at the back of this crowd, like, was there people running from the front to the back to try to, like, recap what Moses was saying? And maybe
so interesting to think about. I don't know.
It is. I don't know if you've ever been to the Red Rock Amphitheater in outside of Denver in Colorado.
No.
The acoustics, you almost don't need a sound system for the acoustics. And so then it's like, well, they're in the desert, but did God have some acoustics sort of set up?
God, so like, carried those words, maybe. Yeah, maybe he had angel acoustic angels that carried the words out. I don't know, but it's amazing to think about.
Because I'm just sitting there going, everyone could hear. These were such important words. Anyway. Yeah, we'll get on with it.
Love how your brain thinks. You're like, what was going on here?
Because I'm just going to say that if I was catching every other word, it's kind of like modern technology right now with cell phones. If you live out in a place where the cell phone is spotty, you know, the service is spotty, coverage is spotty, you just get frustrated. You get so frustrated with the conversation. Like, my husband will call me on his way home and there's several spots on the commute. And I'm just... I love you, but you know what? Let's just not talk right now because this is just getting me frustrated. And so I'm just thinking, is that what some of the Israelites were doing? I don't think that they were doing that, but I just know in my mind, if I was hearing Moses only, you know, be careful, and then his voice sort of like falls down just a notch or two.
You're like, what?
I'd be like, what? Be careful about what? Like, and I'd be lost, and I don't. So anyway, yes, that's where my mind went as I was reading.
I love that. I love that. So good. I love your mind, Michelle. All right. So Moses continues on relating to the people their history over the last 40 years. He's their history teacher now. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of when my in-laws tell stories, or maybe when John and I are telling stories after being married almost 33 years, some things seem to be repeated, like we just heard this, or some things seem to be rabbit trails. But we need to remember the focus is on the big picture and not the exact details, because it's not like a word for word he's reading out loud. He's kind of remembering. So for example, when Moses says in Deuteronomy 10:5, "Then I turned and came down the mountain and placed the tablets in the Ark of the Covenant, which I had made, just as the Lord commanded me." And the tablets are still there in the Ark. Well, we know that Bezalel, the master craftsman, fashioned the Ark, but it's similar to John and I saying, in 2002 in Montana, we built our first home. So the builders built it, but, you know, it was John and I that picked up all the, I picked the colors out, and, you know, it was, so we built our home, but we didn't, like, build the home. So I think sometimes we hear people like, well, it says in this verse this, and it says in this verse. See, the Bible isn't true. No, you have to, again, remember the context and remember what's happening. So Moses was not saying he built the ark and that contradicts earlier stuff. It's generalizing the bigger picture of things here. Mm-hmm. It's also important that we don't think this account conflicts again with what we've been reading, because where it talks about going to Moserath where Aaron died, it is actually set off in parentheses. And we know that Aaron didn't immediately die after the golden calf, because it talks about the golden calf, and then we went to this mountain and Aaron died. Basically, it's saying the golden calf, we went to this mountain. And by the way, this is the same mountain that Aaron died in. Like, my father-in-law telling a story when he mentions the place, and then for the next 10 minutes, he tells you about a restaurant and exactly the meal he ate there. And then he picks up the story 10 minutes later where he was before. He does that all the time. And then people walk in halfway through it. I'm like, just go with it.
Just go with it. Pretend you know it, where he is.
I know he's talking about crab legs, but really he was talking about their first years of marriage. Okay. So Deuteronomy 10:12 is a repeat of the passage that stood out yesterday. And it's, now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? He requires only that you fear the Lord your God and live in a way that pleases him and love him and serve him with all your heart and soul. And you must obey the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. It's like, listen, this is for your good. And then Deuteronomy 10:20, you must fear the Lord and worship him and cling to him. Your oaths must be made in his name alone. So Moses knows, again, his days are short, and he wants his point to get across. Fear, live, love, obey, cling. Tell your children. These concepts are on repeat through these chapters. But Moses continues to tell the people how wonderful this land will be if they obey. You yourselves will have all you want to eat. But be careful. Don't let your heart be deceived so that you turn away from the Lord and serve and worship other gods. And then in chapter 12, Moses tells them to completely erase the gods of the land they are entering. He even says, there you and your families will feast in the presence of the Lord your God, and you will rejoice in all you have accomplished because the Lord your God has blessed you. It's like, don't pick up these idols. Like, wipe them out. Get rid of any sign of idols, because you are going to feast with God in this promised land.
You know, Tricia, as you were reading Deuteronomy 10, 12, and 13, like, what the requirements that God has for his people, what does he expect? Well, he expects them to fear him, to live in a way that pleases him, to love him, and to serve him. And it just reminded me of Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And I just love how we're seeing correlations in God's word between the Old Testament, New Testament, between parts of the Old Testament to parts of the Old Testament, to just, there's correlations, because we have a mighty God who is weaving incredible stories, and how things just continue to pop up in his word. And it's so cool. But another thing that struck me again today was just, again, to be careful. Moses is, I don't want to say he's on this kick about telling the Israelites to be careful, but he's strongly reminding them they need to be careful to obey. They need to be careful not to be deceived. And in not being deceived, like in not worshiping other gods, we see a condition. So here's where some of my grammar, I'm not as smart as you in the grammar police category, but here's where we saw conditions elsewhere too. But in Deuteronomy 11, the Israelites are told to be careful to not turn away from God and serve other gods. If you do, and see, this is where that grammar police sort of comes in there. I was like, if is a conjunction, and it introduces something that might happen. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, and so if you're careful not to serve God, like if you don't serve God, if you turn away, then God's anger is going to burn against you, and he will shut up the sky and hold back the rain, and the ground will fail to produce its harvest. So basically, hey, this 40 years that you've been living, it could easily happen for another 40 years and another 40 years and another 40 years. And it says, basically, you will quickly die in that good land the Lord is giving you. So there is a condition. God requires us to love him wholeheartedly. Yesterday, we talked about wholehearted devotion. God's requiring us to love him wholeheartedly. And that means there is no room in that love for anything else, any other gods, any other idols. And in the next paragraph, we see another condition. You need to commit these words so that you and your children may flourish in the land, that God swore to give your ancestors. And one last thought that just sort of sat with me was that we also read today that we're not to consume blood. And we've talked about this before, because of course this is nothing new, because the blood is the life. It's the lifeblood of the meat. But one cool thing is that as I sat this past Sunday, it's the first of the month, so we had communion. And as I sat in my seat, it just hit me, the cup passed me by. I took a cup of juice. It symbolizes the blood. You know, it was sitting there, that cup of juice was sitting in my hand, and we are allowed to drink the blood now because it's Christ's blood and has newness of life. It's the Lord's Supper. And I just struck me differently this time as I was sitting there, because I was like, before we were commanded not to, the Israelites were told not to drink the blood, but we're allowed to drink the blood because the blood symbolizes the life. And I just was like, I was just struck with that.
Yeah, that's so good, because it was like all the things God's like, don't do this, don't do this. And Jesus is like, I am the bread of life. Drink my blood. They're like, we cannot drink blood. Like, and you know, especially growing up in church, you just hear like, oh yeah, we're drinking the blood of Christ. I mean, when you stop and think of it, it is really, it's something. It's something to really take in. But we kind of get used to it, especially if we've grown up in church. But they were not just used to it from hearing about it. They were heard, do not do this. This is wrong. And then Christ, so you can see why it's given me more compassion, actually, reading through the law. It's given me more of compassion for the Pharisees, because they were doing what God told them to do. We're like those horrible Pharisees. They didn't see Jesus. They didn't understand. They knew the law and they were trying to obey what God. So it wasn't like they like, we're just going to do their own thing. So this reading has given me more compassion for the Pharisees than I've ever had before. Like they were trying to obey. God was telling them, obey, listen, be careful, do these things. That's what they were trying to do.
Such good thoughts. Good thoughts. Well, we need to take a break, and we're going to come back after we hear from our sponsor, and then we're going to have the word of the day. Stay tuned to Daily Bible Podcast.
Okay, the word of the day is cling. Cling is a verb. Cling. It means to hold, to stick onto something, or to hold something or someone tightly. According to Strong's Hebrew, it means to impinge, to cling, to adhere, to catch by pursuit. I thought that was interesting.
Do you know where my mind went just instantly to cling? It went to static cling.
Dryer sheets?
Dryer sheets.
I was going to say dryer sheets. You should have given me a chance. I would have got it right. Static cling.
But when you think about that, it does. Yeah. I mean, things, if they're static, it's going to cling so tightly. And basically you take it off of one part of the material and it's stuck to the another part of the material.
So true. And you know what I thought of? My toddlers, who I tried to get to go into nursery, and they're like clinging to me like, no, like I'm trying to throw them to a lion or something. No.
Well, and it's so true, because it's like you get one arm off and then the other arm clings and you're like, no. And you take that arm off and then there's a leg that is attached to you. And it's like, you can't. Yeah. That's hard.
Cling. Those are some good word pictures for cling. So in his final plea, Moses urges the people of Israel to cling to God. Get those arms around there. Get those legs around there. Moses wants them to fear, to show honor or reverence to the Lord. To cling is to adhere, trust God's promises, to seek or chase his favor, to care for only his approval and not for the approval of men, to invest time in his service, and to always keep praise on our lips. And Moses knows his days are short. He wants, again, this point to get across: live, fear, love, obey, cling. He wants the Israelites to tell their children about God's goodness. And it's on a repeat. As we continue to read, it seems like Moses is repeating himself, but these are all very strong action verbs, as I tell my kids. What's an action verb? Can you see action? Clinging is not passive. Yes. Clinging is active.
Very active.
Very active. And when we actively cling to God, it's an example to others of what it means to actually live for God. So, I mean, I think our encouragement today is to be active and encourage every person, myself and you and every listener. You know, maybe we can even write out how we can actively cling to God today. Like, I will tell my friend one good thing that God is doing for me, or I will walk over to the neighbor and knock on the door. Like, what can be an active thing that we can do to cling to God today?
You know, as you're talking about cling, and I love this verb and this word, it's such a good word, and it came up in our reading in such, I don't think I've read different translations while I've read through the Bible. So this was a different word for me in my walk with God. And I was thinking of, there was a lady when I was in Little Rock and at my church in Little Rock. Her name was Diane. She was a very quiet lady, very unassuming. She was a big introvert. So as soon as church was done, she slipped out the back doors as quickly as possible. You had to grab her. And she was close to retirement age when I met her. She loved God. Like, there was this passion about her, and there was this glow about her. And the more I learned about her story, the more I realized she clung to God. She worked with the Navigators when she was in her early 20s. She went on and worked for, I think it was State Farm, and a very quiet lady, but and went through some hard health crises through her years. She brought her elderly mother in to live with her for a while until she passed away. And then her brother was a rock of hers. And she loved people fiercely, but she loved God more. And there was just some incredible amounts of watching her over those few years that I knew her. How she clung to God, how she clung to his word, how she memorized his word, how she would be very quiet and how she would encourage you. Like, for my birthday, I might get just a song. She might send me a song. And I remember I was going through some hard times several years ago when Mercy Me came out with the song, Even If. And Diane sent me that. And she was like, I hope you have a happy birthday. Listen to these words and meditate on these words. So she was quiet with her faith, but yet her faith was so loud in how it just continued to have this ripple effect. And there were so many people that loved Diane. I remember when her brother passed away, our whole church showed up for that funeral because we knew Diane would be, it would rock her world. And I remember sitting with her that day and she was like, but God is still on the throne, and he's still my God, and all I have to do is cling to him. And she was just such a beautiful example of clinging, and then of sharing that clinging. It was kind of like static cling, in some ways, in many ways.
And that's such a big encouragement, because it doesn't mean as a follower of God that we have to be on a stage. Or be loud, or be on a podcast or the radio, or write books or anything. When we cling to God, it will be noticed by others and it will make a difference. Because, you know, God's the one that whispered to her heart and said, send Michelle the song. Mm-hmm. And she listened and she obeyed and she was clinging to him. And what a huge testimony that is to, like, we all don't have to be out there and mm-hmm. crossing the globe and doing all these things. Yeah. We just have to cling to God.
Yeah. Would you pray for us today, Tricia?
Absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, first of all, I just thank you for your goodness to us. The Israelites made so many mistakes, and I know I make so many mistakes, but you just look past that and you say, cling to me. And I pray that today we may cling to you. We may dig in, hold on, fasten on, chase after, and not let go, Lord. And I pray that as we cling, that that you will do the work. Not that we need to even see it, but that you will do a work in those around us. Mm-hmm. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, we are sending you off with some daily encouragement to get into the Word and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Again, if you don't have the one-year chronological Bible, we have links to that in our show notes. You can also find the one-year chronological Bible in the Kindle format. Also in the show notes is a monthly and yearly schedule of the Bible reading plan that we are following. Tomorrow, we are reading Deuteronomy 13, 14, and 15, and beginning chapter 16, verses 1 through 17. And I want to just take a second right now to thank the team at Life Audio. You would not be listening to Daily Bible Podcast with Tricia and Michelle without their partnership. Go to lifeaudio.com and you'll find other great podcasts that are going to encourage you in your walk with God.
And we will see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.